This episode is brought to you by UiPath. Human achievement can be slow. 200,000 years to go from the wheel to your jalopy? Really? But today, 90% of the Fortune 500 are accelerating human achievement simply. When AI is everywhere, every process can be automated and accelerated. 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 UiPath, the AI everywhere foundation of innovation.
That Los Angeles sunshine coming through.
Please stand by. Prime Video and Westworld director Jonathan Nolan invite you to Fallout.
After 200 years, we don't know much about what's up there. Violence, desperation, lawlessness.
Everyone wants to save the world, they just disagree on how.
We're gonna get across that wasteland, and we're gonna do it together.
Fallout. All episodes available now on Prime Video.
At IKEA, your dream home is a blue bag away. No matter the size of your space or budget, we've got everything you need to turn your dreams into reality. And now with new lower prices on hundreds of our most popular products, bringing the dream home is even easier. Like the gray Strandom wing chair, was $369, now $299. And the IKEA Plus 365 9-piece cookware set was $129.99, now $89.99. And hundreds more. Shop new lower prices at IKEA-USA.com today.
It's got to 2-2, and we've still got more than half an hour to go. And here's Ozil, Lacazette, Ozil!
Yo! Man could have had that fight, but I'm gonna walk on sight. Man had to grab that mic. You're not gonna spit this time. Trying to work with a good energy. Man gonna work with a bad man vibe. None of these guys can't
do it
like
that. It's Aaron Ramsey.
My shine. That's foul. Man,
that's the response of Arsenal.
Man crossed the line. Score for my team in the time I play. Where better know when man's
inside. Chelsea.
Man can't say I got
simply
floor, but you can ask
lost their focus in the joy of equalizing.
Hello, welcome to another Touchy Goodest podcast. My name's Lewis. I'm joined by Sean. How you doing, Sean?
Yeah, all good, bro. All good.
Just me and you today, mate. Just me and you. Yeah. Just the two of us. We can make it if we try it. Just the two of us. You and I.
The others are neglecting their duties, but you know how it is.
Slackers. Yeah, well, you know, Love Island sucks it out of... I knew this would start happening. I knew this would start. As soon as Love Island comes on... You know, people's appearances start becoming a bit scarce. Before we get on to all things Love Island, quick ad for Fanslide. This podcast is brought to you in partnership with Fanslide. It's the world's first in-play fantasy football game, right? It's a free app. You don't need to do anything. You just download the app, okay? And what it enables you to do is win cash. Actual money, like real money. And it's been running throughout the Euros. It's going to be running for the Premier League season next season as well. It's a fantastic idea. I love the idea. You know, if you're a keen fantasy football player, then you will really enjoy this because it's literally in play. So you don't have to rest by your decisions that you make at 12 o'clock on a Saturday afternoon anymore. You can actually change up your team during the game. And you can make changes every 20 minutes. And what Fanslide are doing now is they've upped their referral bonus as well. So if you refer someone, when you join the app, you refer someone and they win, you actually get their winnings as well. So massive incentive to refer as many people as possible and actually hope they win because you could get paid too. Also, they're giving away a free shirt of your choice, right? So any shirt you want. Maybe you want a Ainsley Maitland-Niles Arsenal shirt or when Ben White joins Arsenal, maybe you want a Ben White Arsenal shirt. All you have to do is follow Touchline Frackers on the Fanslide app, become our friend, and you'll be entered into the draw for a free football shirt of your choice. So get signed up to Fanslide. Just download the app. Very, very easy registration and login. No fees at all. Go and join Fanslide. Befriend Touchdown Frackers on the app and get playing because there's loads of money up for grabs. Also, Patreon. We've got some more Patreon content coming for you this week. We'll probably do another player profile. We've already done one on Lokonga. So if you haven't checked that out, we've done Ruben Neves, we've done Yves Bissouma. So if you haven't checked those out yet, get cracking onto our Patreon. The link will be in the bio, or just Google Patreon, Touchy Gooners, really. If you watched on YouTube, like and subscribe, please. And, you know, comment along. We're going to be answering a lot of listeners' questions today. So if you want to listen, if you want to ask some questions to me and Sean, maybe we'll have Leroy join in later as well. We'll see what the doctor's busy schedule is like. But yeah, if you've got any questions, message on the YouTube as well. So Sean, let's start with what's been going on this week. It's been a busy week for Arsenal. Lots of things happening or rumored to be happening. We'll start with what seems to be, you know, pretty solidified now, because so many people are tweeting it. And it was a player that this time last week, I don't even think I had heard of him, right? And he played against us, apparently, for Benfica. I mean, I don't remember him at all playing in that game. But I'm not sure if that's a good sign or not for a left back. It's Nuno Tavares. Tavares, is it?
Yeah, Nuno Tavares.
Nuno Tavares, right? And he's a left back for Benfica. As far as I know, he's their second choice left back.
He's behind Grimaldo. In the pecking order, I believe, because that's why. Yeah, when we played them, I don't really remember him. I think he must have come on as a sub or something. So yeah, but he's the backup left back to Grimaldo. So yeah.
From all intents and purposes, right? When we were looking at positions to strengthen this season, a backup left back was certainly on the list. Considering, you know, Tierney is essentially made of glass, and even though this season is only a 38 game season for us because of no Europe, it was important that we did strengthen in that position, because nobody's trying to see, you know, Xhaka at left back or Cedric at left back, or, you know, whatever the hell we were doing when Tierney, you know, was injured. And I think we've spoke about it on the pod before, is that, you know, we were looking for a player who could essentially replicate what Tierney could bring to the side. Because if he is going to be out for, you know, 10 to 15 games a season, which is quite likely with Kieran Tierney, as much as we love him, he is injury prone. It's important to have that continuity going through that position, as opposed to maybe someone who offers a little bit different. So, I mean, I don't mean to put you on the spot here, Sean, because I don't imagine you've watched too much of him either. But just from a profile standpoint, does Tavares tick those boxes for you?
Yeah, it's a weird one, because obviously I've heard differing views on it. You know, some people are for it, some people are a bit against it. But I mean, the YouTube videos I've watched, he doesn't look bad. He looks athletic, which I want. He looks relatively quick, and he looks like he can swing in a cross. And I think that the important thing is to maintain, you know, a sense of continuity. It's important to, you know, you know, we talk about raising our ceiling as a club, but we don't want to have a low floor either, because like you said, you saw when Tierney was out last season how we had to rejig things. If Xhaka was out in midfield or Partey was out in midfield, we had to rejig things. So it's about having, you know, if there is an injury or a suspension, we have a certain level of continuity. And I think that's important as well. So like, for example, if Tierney was injured, it doesn't look like we're going to have to change stylistically, basically, with Nuno Tavares, which is the most and main important thing. To his actual level, I don't know, if I'm to keep it plain and honest. I don't mind what I've seen. I think there's some stuff to work with. I've heard people talk about he's not great defensively, but, you know, if you look at the way Arteta likes to attack in the five lanes of attack, the left back ends up being a left winger anyway. So, I feel like, you know, if the system can protect Rob Holding's deficiencies, I think it can protect someone a bit more athletic. Do you know what I mean? So I'd rather have someone who's good going forward as the basis of the team, as we're going to be a team that has 60% possession or more most of the time. So obviously he will need to work and improve on his defensive deficiencies. But, you know how key fullbacks are in the modern game as well. So if he can contribute going forward to us, that's the sort of most important thing for me.
Yeah, absolutely. And I've only watched him Lipsity's dog. So that's as much as I know of Nuno Tavares.
That video is so suspect. But
listen, yeah. I've seen people kiss their dogs before, right? Normally it's a thing for certain. You know, listen, if he was a certain, you know, if he was a certain race, right? We would be talking of dogs. Here's Anton. How you doing, mate?
I mean, that was unnecessary. How are you?
Hey, I'm good, thanks. Long time no see.
In it?
How you doing? Man. I saw you a couple of weeks ago, actually. But yeah, it's actually on the pod.
Yeah, no, for real. I apologize for my lack of appearance.
Well, listen, mate. You know, you're a busy man. You've got businesses to run. You're doing it all at the moment.
I am a bit too much, but you know.
Yeah, I hear you. Well, what we were talking about is this left back that we're about to sign, Nuno Tavares, the dog kisser. Any thoughts on him? I don't suppose you've managed to see him too much.
I remember the last time Arsenal signed a backup left back, and I remember hearing the name and it being a bit exotic. And I remember going to watch it on YouTube, and I remember seeing zero defending, and that guy's name was Andre Santos. But I'm not doing that again.
he does remind me a bit of Andre Santos, actually. Well,
that is a problem for me.
Yeah.
So I haven't watched none of the clips. I don't like watching clips on players anymore on YouTube. I'm gonna try avoid doing it.
No, I hear you. It's YouTube is a bit of a hit and miss, right? It's sometimes it gives you some good information, but listen, it can sell you fucking dreams. The amount of dreams I've been sold on YouTube by certain players, half our squad probably.
Yeah, well, look, two minute compilation of a 90-minute match. How hard is it to do good stuff in 2 minutes of 90? Like,
depends how good you are at football, mate. I would struggle to get 2 minutes. I can't lie to you.
And I've seen you do pieces of stuff. You made one great save at West Ham one time. Imagine if you had 4 saves on a compilation.
Yeah, it's true. Well, maybe that's why we're signing Aaron Ramsdale.
Maybe Ramsdale's got a better compilation than you could have. No way.
That's true. I mean, look, we can move on to Ramsdale and stuff in a minute, but another player that looks like it's pretty much sealed this week is Lokonga, which I think is a player that we have looked a little bit more into. I've watched a few games of his, actually. And, you know, there were some decent compilations going around, and, you know, he looks like he's got everything that we would want from a centre midfielder in terms of profile, right? Like great technical ability, great age, physicality, energy, great passing ability. So, and have you managed to see Lokonga?
No, he's what made me change up, because I watched the YouTube thing and then you said that he was kind of, well, you didn't say he was dead in the games, but he wasn't impressed by the games, was he?
No. It's not that I wasn't impressed per se. It was just like I felt like he had mad flaws. Like he would just be letting guys run off him, run into the box, score headers.
Was part of what you was watching on YouTube had you looking for a finished article?
No, because I don't think I had the expectation of him, because like Tavares, I haven't watched a single YouTube compilation of him, because I'm just sort of like, I don't want to do the compilation thing anymore. So I watched that compilation of Lokonga, literally one compilation I watched of him, and I said, let me go watch a couple games. So I watched one game and then I watched another afterwards. And it was just like, I don't know, I weren't completely sold, but I can recognize that he's got good talent. He can pass the ball. That's for sure.
Do you think he has a talent that's going to
Is that me or you?
I think it's Anton. I think we've lost him.
Oh, Ant's gone? Oh. I'm sure he'll come back. But yeah, Sean, Lokonga looks like it's about to be confirmed. So obviously we did our Patreon piece, our player profile piece on for Patreon. If you haven't checked it out, go subscribe to our Patreon. You'll be able to see it. Have you managed to watch any more of Lokonga?
Yeah, so I've watched the same two games that you know, the one you put in the chat as well. So I because essentially I think where you tend to stand on him is where you would assess his position in the squad. I'm seeing him as, you know, likely a Guendouzi or Ceballos replacement. So I don't think he's being signed with, you know, the guys that he's going to be the first choice. I think obviously he will probably play backup to whoever is Xhaka's replacement. Him and basically, so we'll sign a Xhaka replacement, which I'm assuming will be Partey's partner, and then Lokonga will be the one who steps in for either one of them. I like his profile. You know, seems decent athletically, good technically. But obviously, like you said, you just have to temper expectations, because obviously the league he's playing in, we need to see what he's like here. I think he's a sort of player that will need to improve defensively, because he probably doesn't have that level of tactical awareness yet. But he's got a decent... Sorry, bro. Yeah.
Yeah. How much games did Ceballos play last season?
Luis, how many games did he play? I think...
What, in the league?
Well, league...
Ceballos played quite a lot, actually. Remember, Partey was injured for quite a bit.
Yeah, I was going to say, because Partey was injured a lot. Would he have played that much if Partey wasn't injured?
He played 25 games in the league. I don't know how many starts. No, definitely not starts. Let me have a look.
But even with that said, even if it's not 25 starts, it's fair to say that then if a guy is signed to take on that role, then you have to call him a first-team player. He's going to be playing plenty of football.
I agree with you, definitely. I think, and the fee at the end of the day, like, it's costing altogether just over 20 mil euros or pounds. I can't remember what it is. But so I'm sure he will have like a significant amount of games. We said in the group chat earlier today, how many games do we reckon he starts next season? It's a tough one, because obviously we don't have any Europe.
17 starts for Ceballos.
So Ceballos has 17 starts in the league, yeah. Yes, so that's almost half the games. I would assume, fitness permitting, Lokonga wouldn't start that much next season. I would be surprised, fitness permitting, if like...
But a manager that didn't pick the same team to...
That's a question to be had. Did he not pick a team like two times in a row because of circumstance, or, you know, was it down to injuries, or is he just someone who likes to rotate a lot?
Some of the circumstances himself, no? So this is what I'm saying. So it could be all of them, but nonetheless, I don't think that Arsenal right now, after, like, everyone's got these things, they're signing for the squad. I don't think you build a squad by signing players that aren't good, that you don't think are there to play now. I don't think that's the plan. I don't think that you come eighth and then you plan like that. I fully believe that the players that we're seeing coming in to challenge for starting places. Mm-hmm. And given what we know or don't know about these players, we want to look at it, I don't think that's going to take us very far.
No. I definitely agree with you there. I feel like if it was me building, I would right now just be focusing on signing first 11 players, do you know what I mean? So, and maybe we will still like do that.
Unequivocally improve the first 11. Yeah. Not players, you know, might make it a bit better in next season, or you might improve now, blah, blah. That I don't think we're in a position to be making those forward, especially given the fact that Arsenal are going to, you know, from here for 17 mil to in the future. But you know, the players, the teams that we want to get around, so that being City, Chelsea, Liverpool, United, who are they signing to improve those squads?
And I 100% agree. I don't disagree with that. Like, it's just come out actually just now, I don't know if you've seen, Lewis, that we've Fabrizio Romano has just said we made a bid for Locatelli. So I don't know,
is he someone that would move the needle for us?
Well, I think that's definitely an improvement, you know, in terms of and just talk about someone who's ready to play now. Locatelli, someone who's 23 years old, like, you know, he's wanted by Juve. He'd be someone who's ready to play now. Obviously, you'd have, you'd be wary because, you know, sometimes Italians don't transition well into the Premier League. But I liked what I've... I don't... Well, how many would you say have been successful?
Jorginho?
Yeah, I think Jorginho's been successful.
I think you'll do well to get past Jorginho.
So love Viali.
So we're going back 30 years.
Oh, do you know what?
You'll be saying Casaraghi soon.
Do you know what? Maybe it's not. It's just that we don't see it often, I guess. Italians just don't come to the Prem often, which is probably the main point. But I really like what I've seen of Locatelli this tournament. He looks a really, really good player to me. I would... Obviously, the concern some people have is that is he athletic enough for the league? You know, but I think the difference between him and someone like Xhaka, for example, is that Locatelli's much better under pressure and he's happy to use his weaker foot as well, passes well off either foot. So I'd be very, very happy if we could get him. I still feel like he's going to go to Juve, though. But you know, that's a decent link. And, you know, it fits in with Ant's thing about, does that improve us? Does that move the needle? I think Locatelli definitely moves the needle a lot more than Lokonga does right now anyway. So
yeah. I can't lie to you. I haven't seen Locatelli at all. So I don't know what kind of player he is. Is he like a Xhaka type player?
So when I first saw him last season, he was like a Xhaka type, you know, that sort of like deep playing guy who's like a high volume passer from deep. But when I've seen him for Italy this tournament, he's played a lot higher up in a 4-3-3. So it looks like he can play a bit deeper, a bit higher up as well. So he's got a bit more.
Can do what a midfielder's job. He's not one of these nonsense guys that can only do one of the five tasks that a midfielder can do.
So you like him, man? Yeah.
I've not seen a great deal, but he's impressed me what I have seen. I'm not going to pretend that I'm in. He used to be really good on Football Manager.
I hadn't heard of him before, like last season.
Yeah, him and that Berardi guy. They was the
For Sassuolo.
Yeah.
They're both there. But
that was brilliant pronunciation there, mate.
It's not that difficult, is it?
I was going to call him Sassuolo.
Sassuolo. It's coming home, mate. It's coming home. All right. Well, that's the midfield links, because I don't think we've been linked to anyone else. In the midfielder areas as of late. What another player that obviously looks like it's going to be done is Ben White. And I know that is such a massive divisive transfer going through the fan base at the moment, where, you know, what I do feel like is happening is people are kind of trying to convince themselves this signing makes sense. I've tried to do it myself, you know, but I'm still not getting there because the fee just seems astronomical. And I'm not
defender go for these days. Let's look at the last few that have that
average have. Defender or British defender.
How much did Burnley turn down 40 million bid for James Towowski from Leicester?
Yeah, from Leicester, yeah.
Nathan Aki went for 40 mil. Wan-Bissaka went for 50 mil.
Chilwell went for 50.
We put a list of these transfers the other day, didn't we?
We did it, yeah.
And how many of them would you say were actually successful?
But this is what I'm saying. So what do we base this success on? Their quality or their quality against that value? Because part of it feels like I'm a bit of a wishy-washy with it, in that sometimes I'm like, well, the value is the value. But then other times... In a market where we know the prices are way above what they should be, like, should we still look at it the same way we used to look at a 50 million transfer? Like, a 50 million transfer today isn't a million transfer that it was 5 years ago.
And also, as well, like, you have to bear in mind, it doesn't look like Ben White, for example, he's on a long-term contract at Brighton, yeah? They rejected a £30 million bid from Leeds last summer. Liverpool asked about him in January. They were rebuffed. So Brighton obviously don't need the money. So, which is why obviously they're telling Arsenal, like, if you want him, you've got to pay. Yeah. So I don't think he's
player. You don't want to sell. You say, I'll send you back a stupid offer, innit? If you come back, you buy him. Happy days. If you don't, you don't. I keep him.
But my thing is, though, is when I look at Ben White, we need to be buying, like you said, we need to be buying players who are going to improve this first 11, right? I'm not convinced he does. And for £50 million, I need you to be that guy. I absolutely need you to be that guy.
But with a Ben White type signing is if you look at, granted, I've not seen much of Saliba. He's impressed me more than any of the others that I've seen, and he's the only one that he could do. Gabriel's not a defensive leader. Gabriel's the second defender. White looks to be the second defender, what I've seen of him. Holding's not good enough to be a lead defender. Mari, again, not good enough to be a lead defender. So we end up with the exact same problems that we had over the last couple of years, is that we don't have no one organising a back line and no one leading the back line. Even if we do, even if Ben White is a good defender, you can only have one of those type of defenders. You can't have two defenders that need to be marshaled. Remember the difference between Koscielny when he was with Mertens Saka to when he wasn't with Mertens Saka.
And that's even a good point Ant just made, because if you remember how Koscielny and Vermaelen were together, they never gelled together. And also, Ben White is quite like Gabriel. He's a very front-footed defender, do you know what I mean? So you just look at it and you don't see that as compatible. Whereas Saliba is someone who likes to drop off a bit more. He's a bit more of a reader of the game. So, we've already spoken about Ben White a few times. Like I don't mind him. I think he's actually a decent defender. But one, my issue is the fee, and two, what it means for Saliba, which I think we all know what it means. I mean, they said his agent had the meeting yesterday.
Do you not think there's a possibility of him being more keen on a free at the back this season?
I would be surprised, because like he had the free at the back, and you know we weren't creating enough chances, which is why he moved to the back four, didn't he? So. But I don't know, maybe, but I would be surprised. I'd be surprised, because he's often, when he's had these interviews, he's spoken about he wants to do a 4-3-3 like Pep.
I've coached some football, granted not to that level. I've played some football. But I don't think that your shape means that you can't create. Just because you've got three at the back, it shouldn't mean that you
can't. No.
One should have nothing to do with the other. I grew up watching Holland play three at the back my whole childhood, and they were the creative international team that I used to see between them and Brazil, and they always played three at the back. Like shouldn't mean that, you know, that you cannot create. If anything, you're freeing up more players to attack, because you've got that stability in that you're not leaving four players back. You're still only leaving three back.
I agree, and the way Wenger used it, I thought it was quite attacking. But
most people used to use it. Yeah. Now what's happened with football is it is so pre-planned, like every off the cuff now, like so. Mm-hmm. That's why now you can attribute poor attacks to how much people was in the back line and that, and it shouldn't be that. That's nothing to do with that. That's to do with how mundane your creation is. It's nothing to do with having three at the back. You can create with three at the back.
So do you think the three at the back is a possibility then? Because like Arteta has always said, he wants to go 4-3-3 or 4-2-3-1. I think he actually said he wants to transition to 4-2-3-1 and then go to a 4-3-3 sometime. So I don't think anyone's ever envisaged him going back to this three at back. That was always seen as that kind of stopgap.
How many times has he stuck by what he said?
Well, what do you mean by that?
How many times has this man come out and said something and what he said is what he's actually done?
I don't know. I've got to take him at his face value for it. He said that's what he wants to do. I personally can't see us going to a back three.
So I look at the... Let's just assume Ben White's there. Let's assume Saliba's not being sold. And let's assume... And obviously Gabriel. I look at those three and I think the way you'd get the best out of all three would be a three at the back.
100%. I think that'll be a good back three, actually. it'll be a good back three.
Wouldn't be the worst thing. And, you know, they're all relatively young. So, you know, that extra bit of protection that you get when you have two other centre-backs with you would be really helpful for them. So, I don't know. But then, obviously, like, could you see a 3-4-3 working with this team? Like, if you had, like, let's assume, say we get that Locatelli or...
Partey, Locatelli.
Yeah, Tierney on the left.
I think that's a decent 3-4-3 setup.
Yeah, you could even go Saka on the right where Tierney's, and still have Smith Rowe, Aubameyang, and Pepe as your front three. I don't think that's the worst team that Arsenal could put out by any stretch.
No,
I don't know if it challenges for the top four, but it shouldn't be too far off.
Where I think you are could be right is that we haven't been linked to a right back in fucking donkeys, right? We haven't been linked to a right back probably since that Emerson guy.
The Athletic did one this week. The Turkish right back.
Oh really?
Muldar, he plays for Sassuolo as well.
But that's the first right back link we've had in time, right? Even the hunt for a 10 until Maddison came about, and then even Maddison is 10 or 8. I don't know what you want to classify him as, but that went a bit dry as well on the link.
But maybe the right back one is dependent on, you know, someone leaving, because at the moment you've got Bellerin, you've got Chambers, who's considered a right back, you've got Cedric and Ainsley, so you've possibly got like four right backs in it, so you need to probably flog like,
or Ben White is coming in as a right back.
I'd be surprised. I can't lie to you.
One of the stupidest theories of all time.
Really? He literally plays right back for Brighton.
They play three at the back.
Yeah, but he basically plays like a right back.
No, I mean playing on the right side.
But have you seen him play for Brighton? He literally gets up down that wing. Like he plays as a right back for me.
The first game I seen for Brighton, he was playing centre mid. I think I even messaged the main group that he looked good, but he looked like a defender playing in field by a defender that could play. I just can't see Arsenal spending 50 mil on a centre back to play right back.
I can. I think.
But do you know what? I feel like, because he is good on the ball, so I think he just basically wants him to replicate Luiz's qualities that he brought before, which is why I feel like he would. I don't see him being used anywhere other than centre back.
Especially given the problem with how fullbacks are used.
Hmm.
I don't think you look at Tierney on the left and think, you know what we need on the right is. I just don't think you do it. I'll be honest. So yeah,
I can see him playing centre back. I can see him playing right back, and I can see him playing centre midfield as well. I think that is why they've gone for him. I think that's why they're prepared to pay the money, because they look at Ben White as someone who is multifunctional, and it justifies it in the price. Like, we don't need to get a right back. We've got Ben White. We don't need to get a fifth choice centre midfielder. We've got Ben White. We don't need to get a replacement for Luiz. There's Ben White there.
He's a 30 million centre back, a 10 million back on right back, and a 10 million.
There you
back.
Go. There you go.
I mean, it's a good way of being trying to be a cheater about things. It's not the truth, but it's kind of. I just can't see it.
I also
don't think when he knows he knows that Man City look to buy new players every 5 minutes. He knows that Spurs would look coming for him one day. He knows that United, there's a strong chance of them. Liverpool already looked into him. I don't think he turns around and says, yeah, I'm going to go Arsenal to play right back. I just don't think he does that.
Mm.
I agree with Van. I feel like Arteta basically sees him as like his John Stones, basically. I feel like that's how he looks at Ben White. Because from everything I've seen of him and the games I've watched of him, his main quality is that he's very good on the ball and he's aggressive in duels, basically. So, and basically the two teams that have wanted him, Leeds and Liverpool, they're both very high, you know, pressing, high octane, aggressive, pressing teams. So I can see why, but obviously, yeah, again, the fees are madness, but yeah.
That is down to Graham Potter as well, because let's be real, that Dan Byrne has no business making it as a professional footballer. Sometimes myself, but you know, Graham Potter's got Dan Byrne, bro, getting into the box like back post and that, trying to play little triangles and whatnot. So you know, how much of it is White? How much of it is Potter? Are we going to have to start applying a Potter tax?
Building a portfolio with Fidelity Basket Portfolios is kind of like making a sandwich. It's as simple as picking your stocks and ETFs, sort of like your meats and other toppings, and managing it as one big, juicy investment. Mmm, now that's pretty good. Learn more at fidelity.com/baskets. Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Fidelity Brokers Services, LLC. Member NYSE SIPC.
The NBA playoffs are back. And on FanDuel, new customers can bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. Back in the day, news like this, your crew would have been writing each other letters.
Dearest Benjamin, wonderful news from the East. The spread has been covered.
Or maybe you'd use your phone to actually call someone.
Man, you see that dunk? Man, I saw that dunk.
But these days, it's all about the group chat.
I love that high-fiving kitten emoji.
No matter how you tell them, let your crew know that all new FanDuel customers can bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. Ooh, Morse code. Classic. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See full terms at FanDuel.com/sportsbook. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Maybe. Hopefully not, because I want Bissouma as well. So hopefully we don't have to apply it to him either. So because he's another one that I would like us to sign. Just coming away from Ben White, actually, I wanted to talk a little bit about Ramsdale, because I think this is like, I've never seen a fan base so unanimously against a signing. Like, normally you get people who are like, even if 80% of the fan base is against a signing, right? You get like 20%. Oh, you know, he might be good. Literally, it's 100%. People do not want this guy. Like, he is. I hate him. I think he's the Premier League's worst goalkeeper. And the fact that we're even linked to spend 20 million on this guy, and some reports even more, yeah, that Sheffield United want like 40 million for him, is absolute criminal. I swear to God, I won't watch Arsenal this season if we sign him.
It's going to be a £20 million signing, because Sheffield United paid £20 million for him from a relegated side. So why would they sell him for the same price? He's never going for any less than 35 mil. Jordan Pickford went for 30 mil when Sunderland got relegated 4 years ago. So why on earth would my man be going for any less? He's never going for any less.
I don't know. Unless that's what Arsenal are prepared to pay. But
I can't see that having legs, because I can't see them value it, pricing him unless they've watched these performances this season and said, you know what, if we can get back what we spent on him, we've done well. Because they sold him to Bournemouth in the first place, didn't they?
Yeah.
But he's generally awful. Like, no, let's pull no punches. He's a bad keeper. Everything goes through him.
Everything.
It just goes through him. Like,
if you shoot, like, I've never seen a goalkeeper concede so many long shots. It's like, if you shoot from outside the box, it's going in.
But I don't. The killer is, it's not even in the corners. It's everything goes
middle of the goal,
under his body. It's like he don't move his feet to get down. He's just bad. And I thought it when he was at Bournemouth, because I watched Match of the Day once, and he made a couple saves, and they was raving about him. And then I see him concede some goals, and I was thinking, nah, man. Are you sure, like, this keeper's decent? And then every time I've ever seen him since then, he's just been a shambles. He's shit.
Yeah, no, 100%. It's
that deal there, I can't believe anyone at the club has spent the last 2 years watching that guy and thought, yeah, like, if there's a question, that's the answer.
The thing is, it can't even be, you know, sometimes people justify it as always, it's a stat signing. It can't even be a stat signing, because all the stats, whatever metrics you've got for goalkeepers, and there's advanced metrics now for goalkeepers, it all points to this guy being the worst goalkeeper in the Premier League, literally. So it can't even be a stat signing. I personally don't really believe it. I think it's likely to be agent trying to get him out of the Championship. He's an England third choice goalkeeper playing in the Championship. I think it's likely to be that. I don't see why we would spend that amount of money on
why would the agent choose Arsenal?
Oh, we're everyone's choice, mate. We're everyone's choice. We know we've been linked to Onana, right? We've been linked to Onana. I think it's pretty clear that we've been linked to goalkeepers in the last two windows, actually. We were linked to the Brentford geezer last year. We signed that Runnison guy who, I mean, God, how are we got this guy into the club, I'll never know. And then potentially getting Ramsdale in as well. I think it's pretty high profile that we're in for a goalkeeper. I just think it's an easy link to make. I really think it's an easy link to make. Plus, also, we need the homegrown players that we're selling English players. So we need English players in. I just think it's a really, really easy link to make. I'll put my neck on the line and say we aren't signing Ramsdale. I think that's all.
Yeah, I'd be very
load of shit.
I'd be very surprised if it happens.
Yeah, yeah. Sean, any thoughts on the Ramsdale stuff? You're on mute, bro.
Yeah, I don't want him. I want Onana, but I don't think that's going to happen now. I feel like after he's banged, I feel like basically, I think he's decent from what I've watched him. Main attribute again is his distribution. So like, he's very, very good. Like, pings it, breaks lines with, as a goalkeeper. So I think that's why he's wanted.
Why do we want midfielder qualities in a keeper before we look for keeper qualities?
I think he's a decent keeper, but yeah, no, I think because that's all this, like all the modern trend in it. Like you look with Alisson and Ederson and all these guys.
Ederson are blinding keepers.
I think Onana's decent though. I don't think he's a bad goalkeeper.
I haven't seen much of Onana except for that Ajax Champions League run a few years ago, and he was really good then. I haven't seen anything of him since.
Saved a couple of Moura's goals.
Sorry?
You don't think he should have saved a couple of Moura's goals?
No, I don't. I thought he played really well in that semi-final, actually. Where I thought he played really well.
Where the
fuck? Maybe. But the stats say he's a good goalkeeper. So I've seen that. And, my main thing is with goalkeepers is like, is the stuff away from the stuff on your feet, is commanding your box, the aerial stuff, you know. Those are the important things in the Premier League, in my opinion. Like, all the goalkeepers, except Ramsdale, are elite shot stoppers. They're all sick shot stoppers, right? That where they make their mistakes are, you know, commanding the box, you know, corners, crosses, these kind of things. That's where the fine margins come with goalkeepers, because they're all amazing shot stoppers. You know, like I hate when people are like, oh, you know, sick shot stopper. Yeah, okay, they all are. They all are, unless you're Ramsdale. But I want to move on to some listeners' questions. And if you're watching on YouTube, send in the questions, and we'll do them live. I've got one here from Tommy Ajay One. He asks, he's got two actually. I'll do his two because he's a patron. He says, is Saliba actually going to get an opportunity to start?
No.
Anton, you're saying no. Sean,
I don't think he will.
I want to see what came out of that meeting they had yesterday.
Oh yeah, right. They had a meeting. Yeah,
they had. Yeah, he met. Apparently, his agent met with Edu. So we'll see what happens from there. But it doesn't look promising to me. For me, like the White signing. Like, the real vote of confidence would be, I'm not signing Ben White, Saliba's my man. But for me, the constant pursuit of Ben White just doesn't reflect well on Saliba. Unless he told me tomorrow, you know what, Rob Holding's going to go. Or Mary's going to go. But I don't think either of them are going to go.
What's that?
Four. How many did we last season?
Oh, we had like 10. But we had to get rid of all of the centre-backs.
Yeah, but before Mustafi and Socrates went in January. Like, after that, sorry. How much did we have?
He
defenders a lot, doesn't he?
He had Luis, Mari, Gabriel, and Holden.
So he had four.
Did Chamberlain not get no minutes as a centre-back?
I think he did, actually. He came on as a sub at centre-back, didn't he?
Did he?
When someone got injured,
yeah, at Newcastle, he did come on as a centre back.
He played like 20 minutes or a half or something at centre back.
Yeah, then it don't really count. But I don't know. Look, I would love. I just think the whole handling of Saliba. I know people try to draw positives from it, but there's a few facts you got to look at. Is that one? He sent the kid out on loan, talking about lack of experience or whatever. Gabriel had played 9 games more in the same league than Saliba. Yeah, he played 9 matches more. And Gabriel started as soon as he came. He signed one day and he started against Fulham practically the week later. Yeah, so it clearly wasn't about lack of games and whatnot. You sent him on loan. you didn't use him in the Carling Cup. You didn't use him in the Europa League. There's clearly something way more than just that. Even when he, I don't know if he's been asked about it this summer, but I haven't heard of him alluding to rating the kid and treating him like a £30 million signing. And then you're targeting a player that's played just as much football, if not less top flight football, and you're going to pay £50 million for him. You know, we're hearing talks of this kid going out on loan again. If I was Saliba, I would tell him to stuff it personally, unless you're guaranteeing me first team football.
Yeah, I think the only way it makes sense is if, like, you know, when we were theorizing about what Ben White means for the team and what it means for, you know, how we play this season. I think the only reason it makes sense to keep Saliba around is if one of three things happen, right? Ben, my theory is right, and Ben White actually plays right back, or your theory is right, we play three at the back, or Sean's theory is right, and maybe we sell one of Holding or Mari. You know, those are the only things that I can possibly see Saliba staying. But then, yeah, no, because we have our cover.
Let's look at Sean's one about selling Holding or Mari. Do you see I know I said about playing the three at the back with the three of them, but do you see Arteta losing the experience of Luiz and then selling what he considers the experience of Mari and Holding to just leave essentially the four centre backs and three of them are essentially like kids?
No. I agree. I don't think he's going to sell either of them. Like, people pointed to, you know, when Rob Holding's contract got extended last summer, people were like, oh, it's to protect his value. I'm like, no, Arteta just doesn't want to sell him. He likes him.
I think Rob Holding goes, not this season, but next season. I don't think he will be an Arsenal player come next season.
Hopefully not, but I feel like he'll stay. And Mari's Arteta's guy. He bought him 18 months ago. He's used him nearly just as much as he's used Gabriel. So he obviously likes him as well. So I see no
Mari off towards the end of the season, though. I thought he was injured, but he kind of just binned him off.
No. I do think he prefers Gabriel, but I don't think that means he doesn't like Mari at the same time. Like, I think he's all right with Mari, but he just obviously he prefers Gabriel. But yeah, I just don't see a way for Saliba in. I really don't see any way for him in. I can't lie to you.
All right. Okay. Tommy Ajayi won. He also asked, which players from the Euro should we be looking at as potential incomings? So we already spoke about Locatelli. Anyone else you got your eyes on, Sean?
No one's really stood out to me that much, if I'm to be totally honest. I'm trying to think. I've liked watching Italy as a whole team. And yeah, obviously Locatelli in the first few games definitely stood out. I did like their fullback, Spinelloza. He's like right footed, but he's playing left back. But I think he's originally a right back. So I quite liked him. He's a decent option. But no one's really, yeah, I can't lie to you. No one's really stood out to me like this at this Euros that I'm like, nah, sign. Not overly. I mean, and the ones I do like, they're pretty much unattainable. Like, the player I've been impressed with most is Pedri for Spain. But obviously, there's never any chance in hell of getting him. So it's that, you know, that one's just a non-star. So you just don't even entertain it. But yeah.
Yeah. What about Alexander Isak?
I like him. But at the same time, I you know, we were having this discussion in the group chat. What does that mean for Balogun? You know, some of us have said, some are saying he should go on loan. But I just feel like he should get a chance. And I feel like signing someone who's only a year older than him is not the biggest endorsement of him, especially when he's just signed a new deal. So, but I do like Isak. I think he's a good player, but I'd be wary of like the fee around him, 60 mil. Do you know what I mean? So, and for me, like if you're saying 60 mil, you have to be a shooter. And I'm not necessarily convinced that he's a shooter at this moment in time.
And you see much of Isak?
No, I haven't. My main view of him comes from the Odegaard compilations before we got him, truth be told. I mean, he misses a lot. But you lot have been very positive about him in recent weeks.
Me?
just generally, maybe not you as an individual, but generally the group's been very positive about his performances. I've not seen...
He looks a decent player.
I saw extra time and probably the last 20 minutes yesterday. He didn't do anything, but, you know, playing for 10 men, it's not a fair way to judge players. I did like the look of that Ukraine midfielder, though, the one that plays for Atlanta.
Malianovsky.
Yeah, he looked good, man. He looked good.
Arsenal good?
Better than Xhaka good.
Fair enough. Let me go to some Twitter questions. Have you guys seen Ainsley Maitland-Niles' car accident today?
Yeah, that's what Anne posted earlier on. That's what Anne posted earlier on in the group.
So I've got a question here from Pillard81. He says, if true, keep or sell? With a picture of Ainsley Maitland-Niles' G-Wagon flipped over.
I mean, if it's true, sell him. And if it's not true, sell him.
I think it is true, right? The Athletic have done an article about it. It's confirmed.
Yeah, I want the kid to have a good career. I just don't think that he's the standard that Arsenal need. I'll be honest. I mean, and there's no shame in that. Like, he's done really well to come through one of the hardest academies in the country and make it to professional football. But, you know, I think what Arsenal's ambition should be is a step too far for what he brings to the table. I mean, I might be proven wrong in the future, but I can't see what he's going to bring to the Arsenal first team now. I mean, even the whole, we tried to convince ourselves he could be a good right back. He doesn't apply himself the way a right back's supposed to apply themselves, really and truthfully. So I'd tell him, I think we can get a decent fee for him. I don't think he let himself down in any way, shape or form with his loan at West Brom. And I think, you know, that there's a few clubs in the Premier League that could do with a player be standing. But yeah, we're just not one of them.
I saw him and Eddie linked with Watford, both of them. So
I always think players, like young players, should avoid those clubs that is it fair to call Watford a yo-yo club?
Oh, definitely. Them and Norwich are they're the main yo-yo clubs for me, man.
Last 20 years, probably about five or six promotion and relegations, isn't it?
Watford have only gone down once or twice, though, isn't it? It's just, they was in the Prem for like, they came up.
They were in the Prem for a minute.
They stayed up for a long time. I don't know if it's fair to call Watford a yo-yo. Norwich are definitely yo-yo.
Norwich are definitely. West Brom as well, I'd class them as a yo-yo.
Yeah, West Brom a yo-yo, for sure. I just think those moves are really risky because you go there, they go down, and you're the young player, then you're the ones that kind of suffer when you go into the championship because no one doesn't come and buy you, you know? And if it don't go right straight away in the championship, then you end up sitting on the bench and you're not on massive money, so they're not in a big rush to get rid of you. And you haven't really proven yourself at a high level, so no one's really coming to snag you neither. And you haven't proven yourself at that level, so no one's coming for you there. So you kind of end up getting stuck. And then if they do get up and you're not really playing, they're not going to start using you in the Prem if they weren't using you in the Championship, are they? So it's risky. It's risky. I don't know. Nketiah should go to like Celtic or something.
That's not a bad shout. They need a replacement for Edouard, so I think he would bag.
He'd score shitloads of goals. Defoe's still scoring in that league, and he's like 50 years old.
That guy, Daryl, asks, what do you think is the bare minimum transfer requirements we need to compete this season?
Compete for what?
I'm assuming top four.
Yeah, say top four, because I think that's the only thing that can be... I don't think we can be expected to compete for the title at this point.
Do you think we can be expected to compete for top four?
Yeah, I think we should.
If they're willing to spend 50 million on White, then you better, mate. Because if they're prepared to spend 50 million on White, that to me tells me they have money to spend.
Yeah, all right, that's all well and good, yeah. But this is the same argument I'd have with Liverpool fans last season. Remember when they was trying to get their excuses out early doors about Chelsea should be winning the league so they could excuse the fact that they knew they weren't winning the league again. Do you remember that? And my argument is, okay, you could add this player, you could add that player. Does £50 million Ben White make Mikel Arteta give you any confidence that Mikel Arteta can finish above Jurgen Klopp, Thomas Tuchel, Pep Guardiola?
No, but £50 million being spent on a better player.
And that was my thing. It wasn't necessarily about the player. It's about how we're utilising our resources. Because if you're prepared to spend £50 million on Ben White, you could have spent that money already better, in my opinion. That could have got you two decent players that might have moved the needle for the club a bit better. So
what two players are you getting for £25 million each?
I mean, they said Aouar's available for £20 million this summer.
And how often over the course of a season does Aouar's talent take you to above these other sides that you're competing with?
Not just him.
I don't want to give an old English cliche, but when it's cold and it's horrible in November, does Aouar help you in an away game on a Wednesday night?
But would he not help us more than Ben White?
Yeah, he would. But again, does this give you confidence of an Arsenal side being better than the Liverpool side, the Chelsea side, or the City side?
No, I think my
what
point
about
is
United side that just spent £95 million on Sancho.
I think the point is though, is if you are prepared, because we're not just talking about spending £50 million, we're talking about Ben White is probably going to be £50 million of probably around £200 million spent this summer. That's what I think we're going to spend around £200 million. I think if you're spending £200 million in a summer, we're not £200 million worth of players behind top four. So I don't think we need £200 million worth of talent to bridge that gap. So I think if you're spending that amount of money, you're the minimum expectation then is to then compete with those sides.
I mean, you got a case study.
You got to spend it right though. You got to spend it right.
But you got a case study 12 months ago. Not even 12 months ago. You saw the exact same thing happen with Frank Lampard.
And he got sacked for it.
Yeah, but guess who ain't getting sacked?
Well, I don't know. I don't know about that. I'm not.
Do you know what? And I'll disagree there. I feel like if they give Arteta 200 mil to spend and he's not within a decent touching distance of top four by like December, I think they'll have a decision to make, especially with fans back in the stadium.
They've had a decision to make for over a year.
Don't get me wrong. I agree with you, but I think they will use mitigating circumstances and context to defend that. Do you know what I mean? I would have sacked him because at the end of the day, what we were seeing was totally unacceptable. But they will use, COVID. They will use, do you know what? We didn't get all our targets. We're having to balance a bloated wage bill. Because what they'll say now is that loads of players are off the wage bill. And basically, we've just declined to a point where we need to spend money because we don't have any other option. This squad, as it is, isn't going to get top four. So that's going to be their reasoning. So like, if they heavily back him, he has to do it. I mean, obviously, I don't think he will do it, but he has to get close.
I mean, I get where you're coming from. I just have no confidence in the manager. And I think ultimately, even if the acquisitions are expensive, if they're not of the same quality as the teams you're trying to catch or even close to, whilst you have an inferior manager, you're just pissing in the wind.
So I guess the question, going back to the question of what Daryl was asking, was what would it take for us to compete? So, you know, what transfers would it take for us to be in that conversation? Because for me, it's not Ben White. It's not Ben White for 50 minutes.
So I'd get rid of... So are we talking across the board or are we just talking...
Yeah.
I'd get rid of the manager.
Well, that ain't happening. I thought you meant across the board. I mean players-wise, sorry. I thought you were talking about naming players and stuff.
I mean, what would you say? We need a right back. You'd say we need a centre back.
I think we do need a centre back. If you want to compete for top four, I think we do need a centre back because I don't think Rob Holding is sufficient quality to be our. Essentially, he's a second choice centre back, right? if whoever is our first choice gets injured, Rob Holding plays, so he's a second choice. I don't think he is good enough to be a top a second choice centre back for a top four side. So yes, for me, we need a centre back, and that's why that's the only reason I don't mind Ben White. That's the only thing that is making me look at the transfer in a positive light.
I don't know. I think I'm not. I don't know. There's a lot of people that we could bring in that you could say would improve us. Because I'm so unsure as to how this team is viewed at its best team, and the amount of players that have been made to look bad. When I don't think Aubameyang became a bad player overnight. I think, would you say what, two players could come out of last season and say they had, three players could say they had a good season last season?
Saka, Smith Rowe.
And Tierney.
Tierney. Maybe Xhaka to a certain degree, but that's based on what he's served up so far.
Yeah, I don't think he could say. I say maybe Gabriel could say he had a decent start to English football, but outside of that, I don't think you could look at anybody and say they had a good season.
No, I agree.
So, yeah, like Saka, Tierney and Smith Rowe, I'd say they're the only ones that could walk out of last season and say, yeah, you know what? I had done the minimum, at least the minimum of what's expected of me, and in some cases more, and other cases far more. So I don't think all these players become bad players overnight, but I just think it's really hard to judge what Arsenal need when there's such a clear floor at the top. And I don't think everyone sees the floor for what it is, because people have consistently made excuses for it. So maybe I see it a bit different, but I just don't. Yeah, I think until you sort out the manager issue, I don't really think it matters who you sign.
So you think we could sign? Let me say to you a window, and you tell me whether we could make top four with this window, right? Mm. We sign Maddison, we sign Bissouma, we sign Awa, we sign.
You know, what formation are you playing, Luke?
I'm not too sure. We sign Locatelli, because that's someone we've actually been linked with heavily, right? Locatelli, Bissouma. Who did I say? I said someone else.
Maddison.
And a good right back. Okay. Can that team get top four with this current manager?
You strengthened your midfield massively. I still don't think so. I just don't see how he gets above United, City, Chelsea, and Liverpool. I just can't see it.
And I agree, Van. Essentially, he doesn't, because one, they all have better squads than us. They all have better managers than us. So really and truthfully, we're not going to be able to outspend any of those teams to finish above them. You're going to need to rely on good coaching, which we're all sceptical about Arteta with.
Those clubs, bar United, have proven that if they do have a beast, they make a change.
Yeah. Well, and also,
I think United might be the team to have a beast this year, you know?
I can't see it.
In terms of,
I can.
They've got too much.
Bruno is. At the moment Bruno goes off the boil, I wonder how that team.
But you see the problem with United, yeah? They've just got goals in them. Like, and no matter how bad you look at how sometimes they're structured, United just always look like they can score to me. They have too much individual talent, and that bails them out more time than anything. It might not be enough to win them the league, but it will be easily enough to get them in the top four, in my opinion. So,
yeah, potentially. Let me do some quick fire questions before we wrap things up. Then, ooh, no, 23 AFC. I'm not answering that one. Paul_Hales, very simple question. He says, love the show, by the way. Keep it up, guys. He says, is Arsenal going to be a better team in the next season than the last one? very simple question.
The bar's in hell. So even if it is better, we could finish seventh and you'd say it's better. But I mean, realistically, it's not better, is it? So maybe, but it just depends by which.
I think I'm going to say yes.
You've made a very simple question seem very difficult there, Sean.
He's not. His name is not Sean. Can everyone stop calling him Sean?
Hey, buddy, we all saw the magazine.
This is kind of silly.
I think they could do better last season.
Yeah. Really 23 AFC says, do you think we would have a better chance with Nuno or Benitez?
No. Well, yeah, we would, but I wouldn't want to watch that.
Okay. Let me see if Rodgers is an interesting one because I feel like he might just be on his way, you know.
I think that falling short those 2 years in a row, I think this year would have been the perfect summer to turn his head, because I think this would have taken a lot out of him.
It wouldn't surprise me if Leicester had a bit of a tail off start of this season, and come like Christmas, there may be lurking around like 8th, 9th, and you know, maybe Brendan wants to change and they change things up.
But people said that this season though, and they were pretty much in the top four the whole season, even with like Europe and stuff. Like, and I feel like already the two signings that it looks like they've made, Dakar and Sumare.
Have they signed Sumare?
It's not been announced officially, but it's still, they keep saying it's a done deal. But yeah, but I mean, if they get those sort of signings done still, and they retain like Tielemans, Maddison, the team is still strong, I think. So, And that's, you know, so we're talking about improving, and, you know, look at what Leicester are doing.
Yeah. So.
True that. All right, cool. We've done an hour. Let's wrap it up. And it was great to see you, mate. Thanks for joining us.
Anytime, my brother.
Sean, lovely having you.
Always. Yeah. Pleasure.
Come on, you Lions. It's coming home.
Take
easy, guys.
Peace.
To 2-2, and we've still got more than half an hour to go. And here's Ozil. Lacazette. Ozil!
Yo! Could it went left, but it went right. Could it went wrong, but it went right. Said it was Ian, but it went right.
Man, we've got
bars on site. MVP in the night. Tell them to get a deposit.
We're heading for a classic in the paper. Final.
I thought it was Ian, but I weren't seeing right. Man could have had that fight, but I'm in walk on site. Man had to grab that mic. You're not gonna spit this time. Trying to work with a good energy. Man trying to work with a bad man vibe.
It's amazing. It's Aaron Ramsey. That's
foul. Man, that's
offside.
The response of Arsenal.
And Chelsea
simply
lost their focus in the joy of equalising.
Sports Social Podcast Network.